Brothers and sisters, now we appear before the Lord, we acknowledge that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Receive the Lord's greeting. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's now sing a response from Psalm 149, the verses 1 and 2. 149, 1 and 2. Let us now listen to the 10 words of the covenant, and we'll read that from Deuteronomy 5, from verse 5, 6. God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or it is in the earth beneath, or it is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow them to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, for the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Honour your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbour. You should not covet your neighbor's wife. You should not covet, not desire your neighbor's house, his field, his male servant, his female servant, his ox, his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. And Christ Jesus summarized these words as follows: You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. And let us now sing a response about forgiveness of our sins, Psalm 32, verse 1 and 5. Now humble ourselves before God in prayer. We'll pray. Gracious God and Father, you deserve all praise and honour. We praise you as the almighty creator of heaven and earth and all that is in them. We stand in awe when we see just a fraction of your wonderful creation. When we see the natural beauty of this land and of the universe, when we see the hills and valleys, the lakes and rivers, the plants and animals, the fish and birds, we praise you for preparing the earth for man to live on and for sustaining life here on earth. With the psalmist we confess, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained. What is man that you take thought of him? and the Son of Man that you care for him. Yet you've made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You made him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Father, we praise you for the position and abilities you have given us humans. Despite our fall into sin, you have allowed man to cultivate and to develop this earth. We are amazed when we consider the resources you have made available in your creation and the developments of science and technology. We thank you for your care in our country, for food, water and housing, for freedom, safety and medical care, for law and order, for opportunities to study and to work. Yes, Father, there are so many good gifts you give us, far more than we can enumerate. But Father, it grieves us that we so easily take those things for granted and thus fail to give you the glory due to you. We spoil your numerous gifts and talents through our sins. Therefore, we humble ourselves before you, and we pray will you forgive us those sins through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And thank you for your assurance of forgiveness for all who genuinely confess their sins. Father, we praise you for your works of redemption. Thank you for your church that you also gather here in Rockingham. Thank you that we may be part of a federation of churches. Grant that we as churches may encourage and build each other up, that we may keep each other close to you and your word. Continue to be with us as a local congregation. Guide and bless us. Provide in all our needs. Encourage and equip the office bearers so that we together may experience your love and care as our good shepherd. Father, bless us now during this service as we listen to you and worship you. Father, grant that our hearts may be tuned in to your gospel. And will you powerfully work through your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You now receive the opportunity to give your offerings to the Lord. The collections will be for the work of the deacons. And after that, we'll be singing from Psalm 146, the verses 3, 4, and 5. Brothers and sisters, listen. Now open our Bibles and we'll read first from Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35. You read the Word of God. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong. Do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and a road, and shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This morning I want to preach God's word to you as we read that in Mark 7. We'll read that together, Mark 7 from verse 31 to 37. Mark 7 from verse 31. Now we read, again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he, that is Jesus Christ, came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. And after the sermon, as a response, we'll sing from Psalm 72, verses 1, 2, 7, and 10. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what a brokenness we still face in this life. What are physical, mental, and psychological challenges? What painful limitations, defects, disorders due to accidents, illness, or old age? Sometimes to the degree that people can't communicate properly anymore. Some people can no longer speak, hear, see, or walk. Others never had that privilege. They were born with a disability. These still have the unborn children who have never seen the light of day because of a miscarriage. A very sad and painful experience. Beloved, during his ministry on earth, Christ gave special attention to the sick and vulnerable. In the Gospel, we read about all kinds of healing wonders. In Matthew 15, verse 30 and 31, we read, "And crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they put them at his feet, and he healed them. So that the crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they glorified the God of Israel." These healing wonders characterize Christ's ministry. When the imprisoned John the Baptist questions whether Jesus is indeed the promised Messiah, Jesus refers to all those healing wonders. The messages John sent to Jesus to inquire whether he is the promised one are sent back with the words, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news proclaimed to them." Matthew 11, verse 5. These miracles prove that Jesus is genuinely God's Messiah. He does what only God can do. And he does this according to the messianic promises. The account of these healing wonders could give rise to the longing to have Christ present here and now. Just think of the incurable sickness you or your loved ones are struggling with. That sad disability with which loved ones have to go through life. Wouldn't it be lovely to have Jesus Christ here again? He would only have to speak one word, and that would be sufficient to free from that sickness or handicap. What a great thing it must have been for those people of the past to experience Christ's healing wonders. Well, beloved, how understandable that longing may be. Let's not forget why Christ performed those healing wonders. Those wonders are meant to point to something. That's why they're called signs. They pointed ahead to the complete redemption Christ came to bring about. The redemption not only from sin, but also from the consequences of sin. Those healing wonders were given so that we would not doubt the complete redemption promised to us. They confirmed the gospel message of full redemption in Jesus Christ. This morning I proclaim to you, in the healing of the deaf and mute man, Christ demonstrates that he is the Redeemer of life. So in the healing of the deaf and mute man, Christ demonstrates that he is the Redeemer of life. And we'll note three things. Firstly, Christ's disappointment, secondly, Christ's glory, and thirdly, Christ's restraint. But other John's Gospel begins with the familiar words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was at the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. These words tell us how it was at the beginning, when God created heaven and earth and everything in it. Then the Word, that is God's Son, was also present. The Son was even closely involved in Father's work of creation. We read that the Father created all things through the Son. Well, that Word became flesh. He comes to the earth and moves around amongst God, among Father's created beings. When God created everything through him, it was said it was very good. But now Christ appears in Decapolis, southeast of the Sea of Galilee. He meets a deaf and mute man. The man can't hear and can't speak properly. He's like a besieged city. Normal communication is impossible. Just think of how isolated that man must have been. Here's a created human being standing before Christ in Father's world. Here is a person who was originally created in God's image, in whose creation Christ was closely involved. How it must have grieved Christ to see that man before him. Look what has become of that beautiful creation in the beginning, when everything was very good. Look what has become of a man originally destined to rule over God's creation. Look at what has become of man who was created with the ability to communicate. Did God not communicate with man in contrast with the other creatures? Man was created in such a way that he could receive the words of his Creator, could process those words and could respond to them. Man was destined to praise his Creator. But what do we see of this with the deaf and mute man? Christ can't even communicate with that man. Christ's words, his preaching, can't even reach him. The man is not accessible, closed. And if nothing can enter, then the man cannot praise his Creator either. Here Jesus receives a living proof of the destruction that sin has brought about, of the brokenness of God's wonderful creation. The man stands before Jesus, the Son of God, through whom the Father created all things. He stands in front of the Son, through whom the Father also wants to restore all things, to bring about the new creation. The people beg him to heal the man by laying his hand on him. Laying hands on someone was a common sign of imparting to someone the power and gifts of the Holy Spirit. And thus Christ had frequently already laid his hands on sick people, after which they received healing. But in this situation, Christ does not apply that method. Why not? It's probably related to the handicap of this man. Remember, Christ personally cares about the individual needs of the sick and vulnerable. He knows how the person feels and what he needs. He knows the sick, but he also knows the crowd. And like a true shepherd, he takes that specific situation into account. And therefore Christ does not always perform his miracles in the same way. People aren't just numbers with him. He gives every person the appropriate pastoral care. And thus Christ, who knows the hearts, takes this man aside, away from the crowd. And Christ then does two things that are most fitting for this man's situation. The first thing that needs to happen is to make the man accessible to Christ's work. But how can Christ make clear what he is going to do? Words can't reach him. Christ therefore puts his fingers in the man's ears. He shows the man that he wants to do something about his ears, about his hearing. Those ears need to be opened so that Christ's words can enter. And then Christ spits and touches the man's tongue with it, as on a very dry day, the tongue can stick to the palate and moisture is needed to loosen it up. So Christ wants to make clear that he wants to release the man's tongue. Through those two acts, it can be clear to the deaf and mute man what Christ has in mind. Christ's symbolic deeds open up the contact, can arouse the man's expectations and make him receptive to Christ's works. Then Christ shows his glory, the second point of the sermon, Christ's glory. Look what Christ is to do to reach this man. A sad picture of Father's original creation. One can understand that Christ sighs. The brokenness and needs of his created human beings touch him deeply. It's very sad to see. Once Christ has opened up contact with this man, Christ looks up to heaven. Christ calls in Father's help. Christ doesn't do anything apart from his Father. As it went out the creation, so it's done also with his work of recreation. In perfect harmony, the Father and the Son work together. Thus Father does it through his Son. And then we hear the Son call out, "Ephphatha, be opened." Mark records the word of Christ in its original Aramaic form, "Ephphatha." Christ spoke his authoritative word, and then something happens. For when he, the word, God's Son, speaks, then something comes about. When he commands, it stands. Think what we read in Psalm 33. By his command he made the heavens, their starry host, by his decree. God spoke and was done. And therefore it follows in our text. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. All obstacles disappear. The man who is closed to his surroundings is open up. Words can now freely enter. The man who has a speech impediment can now speak plainly. The man can hear God's words and sing God's praises. Christ's authoritative word creates and recreates. Christ reveals his glory, a glory as of the one and only Son of God, full of grace and truth. Christ has mercy on his created human beings. In this, he demonstrates that he is a messianic king of Psalm 72. I quote from verse 12 and 13, Psalm 72. For he delivers the needy when he calls, the poor and him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy and saves the lives of the needy. Or as we sing it in our metrical version, the helpless poor he will deliver and hear them when they call. For he, as great and gracious giver, has pity on them all. The praise of the messianic king in Psalm 72 ends with the praise of the Lord God. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Thus in this healing wonder, Christ shows the glory of his Father. A wonderful proof of the salvation God has promised. After all, the gospel is not just for our souls. God's good news is also meant for our bodies. The word of redemption embraces our full life. The Creator wants to save and restore your whole being. The prophets had already prophesied about it. Think of what we read in Isaiah 35. The Lord promises not only the forgiveness of sins, but also the deliverance of the consequences of sin. We hear Isaiah prophesy, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. Isaiah 35, verse 5 and 6. It's clear that the promised salvation includes not only the soul but also the body. The new full life is envisioned and demonstrated in the healing of the deaf and mute man. In this way, Christ shows how far his salvation extends. He came in the world not only to forgive sins, but also to restore life. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit seek a new, restored creation. And beloved, the people who witnessed the healing of the deaf and mute man understand something of this. They're absolutely overwhelmed with amazement and they say, he has done or made all things well. They express their amazement with words that remind us of Genesis 1, verse 31. After creation, God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. In Genesis, this is said of God's work of creation. In our text, it's said of God's work of recreation. After the healing of one deaf and mute man, we hear, he has done or made all things well. He makes both the deaf, and note here it's in the plural, he makes both the deaf to hear, and the mute, again in plural, to speak. This one healing wonder is a sign of a complete new world in which all deaf people will hear and all mute people will speak. Beloved, in this way, Christ ushers in the new messianic age. In him, the kingdom of God has come near. It's now breaking new ground with power. No one can stop it. Ears are opened, tongues are released. The messianic salvation is brought near, according to Isaiah 35. Yet, brothers and sisters, why then Christ's restraint? That's the third point, Christ's restraint. Why does Christ charge the people not to tell anyone about it? Surely Christ's glory and salvation must be made known. Why does Christ forbid this? Well, brothers and sisters, the people are not yet ready to act as Christ's messengers. Increasingly, Christ is saddened by the fact that his own people don't really pay attention to his message. Just before Christ had withdrawn himself and gone to the region of Tyre and Sidon, he had appealed to the crowd, "Hear me, everyone, and understand. And if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Mark 7, verse 14 and 16. People are slow to hear, but they love sensation. They don't pay attention to Christ's preaching, but they love to see signs and wonders. When Christ returns to the Sea of Galilee, they again ask for a sign. At this point of time, people don't need to see and broadcast the miracle of healing. More important is that they listen to Christ's preaching. Then they can gain a proper understanding of what Christ is all about. Otherwise, they could start seeing Jesus as a kind of witch doctor or medicine man. They could even be tempted to make him their king. And this would mean that the essence of his work would escape their attention, and they would still be left without salvation. Exclusive attention for his healing wonders would mean a serious misunderstanding about Christ's major task. After all, Christ didn't, first of all, come to heal. Now, first of all, he came to remove the cause of all misery. His main task is to pay for our sins and to reconcile us to God. First, it must be the preaching or ministry of reconciliation. First, people must hear his words and believe. And he who believes will be saved. that salvation then ultimately includes soul and body. It finds its climax and crown in the total recreation in the new heaven and new earth. Christ's program runs from the A to the Z, from suffering and death as payment for sins, to preaching, faith, and complete restoration. That's Christ's program. Let people not misunderstand it and turn the things around. And thus, in that light, you can understand Christ's restraint. But why did Christ then perform this healing wonder? Shouldn't he, in the light of his program, have waited with it? Well, Christ wanted to confirm his gospel. He wanted to demonstrate that the good news he preaches is not just empty words, but full reality. Just look at a deaf and mute man who can now hear and speak. You can see it and hear it. There's no reason to doubt God's good news. You can be absolutely sure of it. Christ has given clear evidence, has he not? Wonders of healing, signs of the complete restoration of life. And thus unbelief is exposed as short-sighted and foolish opposition to the facts of God's kingdom. After all that has happened, you can no longer think little of our Redeemer and of the gospel of his kingdom. The evidence of the redeemed life in Christ is there for everyone to see. On the other hand, brothers and sisters, don't ever forget that these are just signs. The climax, the full realization of your redemption is still to come. It's not that far yet. Now it's still the time that one first of all needs faith. You need to believe the word proclaimed to you. And therefore do not focus all your attention on those healing wonders. Those wonders are just signs. And the value of a sign is that it points to something else. The sign itself is not most important. Compare this to a road sign. The road sign is not the most important. What's more important is what the road sign refers to. For example, a dangerous bend in the road just ahead of you. That's what you must pay attention to. Otherwise, you might roll your car and endanger your life. The healing wonders, therefore, draw your attention to the gospel of Christ, to Christ and his kingdom. Through it, you see how true it is that Christ is the Redeemer of life. You receive tremendous prospects. It promised to be something great when Jesus reaches the Z. Everything will then be overcome. The world will be freed from all those painful consequences of sin. Every brokenness and disability will be removed. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. This is true and certain. This will happen. Note the signs pointing to it. God's creation will be completely restored. And the redeemed children of God will freely sing God's praises without any impediment, without any physical or mental barriers. Beloved, what a great comfort for us who's to live in this broken and fallen world, and who still experience painful limitations and impediments. Don't keep focusing on what you or your loved ones lack here on earth. Marvel in the first place about what you and your loved ones possess. Those loved ones with disabilities, those with special needs among God's people, possess God's rich covenant promises. Promises of full redemption, eternal life and glory. Those among God's people who now struggle with physical or mental health issues will later be part of the innumerable crowd praising God. They will be great examples, proofs of God's almighty redeeming power. Yes, now there is still the struggle and brokenness for each of us, an enemy we try to combat with all available means. But while we now still experience the painful limitations, God will one day make everything very good again. Notice the living proof of this in Christ's healing wonders recorded in the Bible for us. God's word is trustworthy and true. He does what he has promised. He will in due course speak. And it will come about, the new, unimpeded life of his children as prophets, priests and kings before his throne. Amen. Let us now sing in response from Psalm 72, verses 1, 2, 7 and 10.
Thank you.
pass on to you the announcement from the consistory. The Lord willing, we will celebrate the Holy Supper next Sunday morning. We read 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27 to 29. Lest anyone eat and drink condemnation upon themselves by eating and drinking in an unworthy manner, you are called to examine yourselves. And we confess in Lord's Day 30, only those who come to the table who are truly displeased, only those may come to the table who are truly displeased with themselves because of their sins, and yet trust that these are forgiven them, and that their remaining weaknesses is covered by the suffering and death of Christ, and who desire more and more to strengthen their faith and amend their lives. But hypocrites and those who do not repent eat and drink judgment upon themselves. Let's now seek God in prayer. We'll pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your words of life. We acknowledge that we, through our sin, destroyed your perfect creation, and that we brought your curse and suffering upon ourselves. Thank you for your initiative to draw us back to yourself and to restore us in that wonderful relationship with you. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins and the renewal of our heart and lives. Keep working faith in all of us so that none of us may be left behind. Thank you for that promise of complete restoration demonstrated in Christ's healing wonders. Thank you that those living with disabilities or disorders here on earth may in Christ receive the prospect of full restoration of life, where all impediments and brokenness will be removed. Father, bless those with special needs among us. Bless parents, carers, and all those involved. Help us to deal with this brokenness in a way that gives glory to you. Thank you for the Eucalypt Association. Bless the homes, the clients and carers. Bless the support that is offered regarding work experience and training. May those with special challenges experience the joy of being of service according to their specific abilities and gifts. Father, help us all to treat others with dignity. May we as church show that we are a loving and caring community. May we also as a country care well for the weak and vulnerable. Bless the work of doctors and nurses, carers and supporting staff. Bless the care given in hospitals, hostels, rehabilitation centres, aged care facilities. May the elderly and vulnerable be treated with love and dignity. Thank you for the Fairhaven Hostel and Village. Will you bless the board, staff and those living there? Thank you also for those possibilities and opportunities to show our love and care. Thank you for the rich promises that all your children possess, no matter what we suffer or lack here on earth. Father, comfort those who are grieving. You know what an impact death has in the life of your children. Guide and sustain those in the process of grieving. May they experience your presence and power, your goodness and grace, as they processed what has happened in their life and adjust to the new situation. Grant us all the peace that passes understanding, rest for our souls, the assurance that nothing shall separate us from your love in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for the wedding of Shanae Berkler and Brayton Yongling last Friday. Bless their marriage and cause it to be a blessing in your church and kingdom. May their relationship reflect that incredible self-sacrificial love you have shown to them and to us. Father, grant that we may prepare ourselves for the celebration of the Lord's Supper next Sunday, so that we can celebrate it in a worthy manner to your glory and for the strengthening of our faith. Hear us, Father, as we pray in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our final song is Psalm 33, verse 6. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go home in peace. Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.